Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, in case you missed it, Allen Robinson had a pretty good year. How about that?
He was not bad.
Did you see, Tony, the stat that was tweeted out by the Jaguar PR department the other day? I believe, if I have this correct, since 1970, there have been a handful of seasons in which a receiver has had 1,400 yards, 14 or more touchdowns, and averaged 17.5 yards per catch. In fact, I want to say prior to this year, Jerry Rice had done it twice. This is since 1970. Randy Moss did it one time in his career. You think about the average per catch that guy had, right?
Right.
I mean, ridiculous. And Calvin Johnson did it once. Make it five with Allen Robinson doing
right.
it this year. That's pretty crazy, right? You know, it really is. And I get those are arbitrary cutoffs. Well, why 1,400? Well, that's what he had, right? And, you know, you look at the numbers, you say, wow, that's a really impressive total. Who else has done that? Well, those three other guys have done it a total of four times. Jerry Rice did it twice. He was pretty good. It's just in. All right, so Allen Robinson, nice season.
No doubt.
I'm not breaking that news, but are you kidding me? It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday, Tony. We'll hear plenty from Dave Caldwell today, and we'll talk about whether or not, you know, the expectations have changed, and have they really been put out there? I think expectations are higher. Certainly, Sean Kahn said they were higher last week, and any reasonable person would expect them to be higher. But I was a little bit struck by Dave saying, hey, look, I can understand. Your first year, you come in, you tear the whole thing down. You're playing with a bunch of young guys. And I get it. They played with a bunch of young guys last year as well. But, man, if you're really not going to evaluate or consider or hold against Gus Bradley the seven wins over the first 2 years, oh, who knows? Maybe he's got more job security than we even think. Look, I know Sean Kahn said significant improvement. But to us, that meant after 4 years, we need to see playoffs and we need to see 10 wins. Maybe it's not that big of a leap for significant improvement from the franchise's point of view.
Maybe, but I still get the sense from what Sean Kahn said that it's my expectations aren't changing for 2016.
Mine aren't.
Right.
But I don't know what his are.
Look, I don't know. We'll find out as the season's going on next year, you know, if the way that Gus Bradley is being talked about, if the team doesn't pick it up, just if it changes next year. The comments from Caldwell are certainly interesting in that he's not holding the first 2 years against Gus Bradley. I think nobody within the organization wouldn't say that what happened in 2015 wasn't a disappointment.
I would hope so.
The opportunity they had in 2015 to wind up 5-11 is a disappointment. And whether you're going to hold the first 2 years against them or not, you hold 5-11 against them. And with the chance they had to be much better than that in 2015, you hold that against them. And if you thought that you'd be more competitive in year three and really ready to compete in year four, if you're not there next year, you certainly have to judge them based on that. And I think 2 years, even if that's all you're going to say, if they're not getting to where you thought they'd be after four at that point, then yes, you have to seriously consider what's going on with the head coach. So in my mind, it is still they got to be a playoff team next year. And if it means they win 10 games, and again, we've gone over the scenario where that doesn't get them in, that's a different situation. That's a playoff team that didn't make the playoffs. The Jets, to me, are a playoff team that didn't make the playoffs this year because of circumstances. So if they're at that level next year, then I think that's good enough. Anything less than that's not good enough.
By the way, is that shirt from the year-end holiday sale?
Last year.
Was that
yeah.
last year? Okay,
yeah.
I wasn't sure if that was a new one or not. Did you get anything at this year's year-end sale?
Yeah, I picked up a couple things.
I didn't have time to go in. I was busy when the sale was going on. And plus, I need to lose weight, dude. I don't need to buy a bunch of stuff that fits me now.
Yeah, I got Christmas gifts, too.
Well, that's good.
I bought a couple people things in there, too. So,
oh, aren't you nice? I didn't see anything coming my way there. All right, today, I think we're going to have fun with the fan feedback spotlight today because we're going to get a sense of just how invested the Jaguar fan base is in improving this team in terms of knowledge and what's available out there. Everyone says, get this, get that, get good things, get good pass rush, get safeties, get this. How about some specifics? And I'm already very heartened because Jag fans are tuned in to what is going on. We're asking you today in the fan feedback spotlight to name three specific players, not positions, three specific players. They could be either impending free agents or draft prospects. either way. They don't have to be your first round pick. They can be anywhere in the draft. They can be any. They can be high level guys, low level guys, but just three specific guys that you think should be on the Jags' radar this offseason. They should take a long, hard look at. They don't have to be the most expensive free agents in the crop. If they are, that's fine as well. And we've seen, you know, some of the similar names repeat themselves already in the feedback that we've gotten, some of the names you would expect, but there's a great variety of names as well, and I think a lot of people are really thinking a lot about this and really tuned in to what's available to the Jags to make them a better team in 2016. So I'm heartened by that, and so we'll do that today, and we'll talk about some of the ones I've already said. You know, it's tough to pare your list down to three. I'll tell you that, because you have so many holes and there's so many guys available that you say, man, who wouldn't want Joey Bosa if he's there at number five? And you look, you're picking fifth this year. There is no one consensus overall player, because you don't know who's going to end up with the number one pick. Right now, Tennessee has it.
Right.
They don't need a quarterback. So some team could trade in there. It could be quarterback, first two picks off the board. You just don't know.
It could be.
So I'm not going to sit here and say Joey Bosa, there's no way he's available with the fifth pick in the draft.
No, actually, right now, looking at it, and again, we're months away from the NFL draft, so the conversation about what's going on in the top five is going to change about 1,000 times between now and the time that we get there. I'm sure, I talked about it last night, I'm sure fans are going to get sick of hearing the name Jalen. By the time we get there, they're just going to be sick of that name, even if that's going to be winding up where the Jags go with that pick. And I think there's the chance that Bosa's there. My gut right now tells me if Tennessee gets stuck with that number one pick, and I think they probably will, because I don't know if anyone's moving for these quarterbacks in this year's draft, that Tunsil's going to be the number one overall pick.
Right.
That would be my guess right now. So that is at least one more spot where Bosa's not going.
Cleveland could certainly go quarterback at
right.
two.
And if you really believe Bosa's the best defensive lineman in this draft, that I think there is the chance right now. There's still hope that Joey Bosa is going to be available to the Jags.
There's a chance, right? And I know we're not saying it's the most realistic thing or the most likely thing to happen, but I'll tell you this. They did us a favor once again in terms of off-season radio in paring down the possibilities. For a while there, we're thinking, are they going to pick 10th or 12th? And the focus of the programs are going to be a lot different now. You don't build your team just around one first-round pick. Obviously, we saw what can happen. Dante Fowler Jr. never played a snap for you last year. But it's easy for, I think, as an entry level into looking at what we're trying to get accomplished here, or what the Jags are trying to get accomplished in adding talent to this team, to focus on. You don't have to go any deeper than five deep out of every college player to know you've got your crack at one of the top five guys who you consider the top five guys. Obviously, free agency is out there as well. You've heard a lot of the names mentioned. So share your thoughts with us on that today at MD_1010XL and at 1010XL Fat Tony. You can throw Tyler a tweet at 1010XL.
Thank you.
Tyler as well. You're welcome, Tyler. Absolutely.
I like to be included.
Pleasure. Happy New Year, Tyler. How are you? Everything good?
Everything's
good
grand.
Week? Good.
I'm
all
excited
right.
for this possible trip we're having here in a month.
Well, listen to this guy. He is getting ahead of himself. I've got to get the clearances from the bosses up in front. But what is today? Today is the 6th.
Uh-huh.
What day is the Super Bowl?
I think it's
year?
The 7th, almost a month
the
from tomorrow.
7th, so we're about a month away from the Super Bowl. So that may be a trip out to Santa Clara that Team Jaguars today will be taking this year. And quite frankly, Tyler, if you get to go, it's because none of the lovely ladies of 1010XL were available.
How
we're
lucky am
work
I?
You to
wow.
death.
That is, we're going to work you to death.
Yeah, Mike and
you're
I are going
to have to wear a dress.
Yeah,
minimum
Mike
wage,
and I are doing
right?
2 hours of radio, and you're working.
Yeah, you're going to be running all over the place and, head off to wine country and pick us up a little
Let's
something.
Let's do it.
If you don't mind. All right, there you go. So you can also text us today on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, not just on the question of the day topic, but on anything Jaguar or NFL related, 641-1010. That's the phone line. We'll open up the phones to you. We'll have John Osier stopping by about an hour from now from Jaguars.com. We'll look back on the Dave Caldwell press conference. In fact, we'll play some of those cuts for you, that some of his comments from yesterday that are very pertinent, obviously, to what's happening here or beginning to happen in the offseason. By the way, Tyler passed along that Florida State's Roberto Aguayo officially headed to the NFL draft, has been the most accurate kicker. I don't know if he's the single most accurate kicker the last 3 years, but has been considered the best kicker in college football basically since he got to Tallahassee. His brother's going to Tallahassee. But Roberto Aguayo, we had people last Tony, I had people tweeting me during the season, is the third round too high for the Jags to spend a pick on Roberto Aguayo because they were not satisfied with Jason Myers. It is mystifying when you really look at the final tally for Jason Myers, how accurate he was on field goals, the fact that he missed seven extra points.
Yeah, and I saw a statistic that there are five kickers in the league that missed more extra points than they did field goals, and there were some good kickers in there. Like, Canton Zaro for Arizona this year, that's a good kicker. Hauschka is a very good kicker in Seattle, and those two guys are on that list.
Canton Zaro, by the way, missed a 51-yard field goal off the upright and an extra point this week.
Yeah.
Says a guy who may have had a two-week championship game in his fantasy league, I'm just saying, although I did take it down.
That 51-yarder would have been good from 60.
But, by the way,
it just hit the upright.
I'd like to right now confirm that the champions of each of the Jaguars Today leagues will be coming back next year. That would be me. And myself. Thank you very much, me. My arm is getting a workout.
Well, when you run a league that you can't make trades in, it's a little unfair when you lose guys like Arian Foster and Keenan Allen all season.
Wait a minute. I lost Arian Foster.
Fixed.
Yeah, you had him.
Fixed.
Right.
Fix the league.
No,
Dempsey fixed the league.
It's the same rules for everyone. You can't trade. Why is that?
I had Arian Foster in league number two.
Yeah, in league number two, and your team was number two.
And right? Team Gronk suffered big time because of the injuries.
Well, I
couldn't make
Arian
trades.
I drafted Arian Foster, Todd Gurley, Martavis Bryant, and Antonio Gates. I had none of those guys for like a month at the beginning of the season.
And they came back and tore it up for you.
And tore it up, baby.
Shady.
That's what I did. No, Shady. I did not draft Shady.
You win in both leagues, Shady.
I don't care. You're all a bunch of suckers is what you are. All right, 641-1010 if you want to get in today. We'll come back with the words of the general manager, Dave Caldwell, next on Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Our first Metro Rooter Wednesday of 2016. Frost Hodge Plumbing Jobs, residential, commercial, industrial, septic systems, you name it. If it has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter, the call you need to make with the solution. Same-day service, weekends included with the right people and the right equipment. That's why they've been serving Jacksonville and the surrounding area since 1978. MetroRooter.com online and 695-1911, 695-1911. For Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor here on Jaguars Today. If you'd like to get on board, our number 641-1010. We'll get to Dave Caldwell, the Jaguar general manager. Yesterday, his season wrap-up press conference. Tony, we will hopefully get Dave in here ourselves shortly, but since he just spoke yesterday, no need to rush. By the very least, hopefully by the end of the month, be able to sit down with Gus and Dave and get a little bit more perspective on the wrap-up of the season and looking forward to what their plans are in the offseason. Curious to see what happens with the Senior Bowl as they are one of a handful of teams that are in the sweet spot to potentially coach again. You don't want to be there, but you do want to be there if you have the opportunity. You don't want to earn the opportunity, but once you're a bad team, the chance to get up close and personal with a few more prospects can't hurt.
Sure.
They found a few through that process that they felt a little bit more comfortable with.
And, no doubt.
I would be all for that happening.
That's probably why Aaron Colvin's here.
Probably is, right? And that's the one that really leaps to mind is Aaron Colvin as far as that goes. Being around that guy and being able to assess, what he's all about and – getting a value on him, as a lot of people thought he might be a late first, early second round type guy. He's got to play better as well, though. As Loggeman said, watching the tape as the season went on, he kind of slid back a little bit in his quality of play.
No doubt.
Let's get some phone calls in, starting things off. Question of the day is this. Which three specific players? There's so many. This is hard for me to narrow down to three because you don't know, obviously – look, it's not a test, but it's if you go free agency, like if you say, hey, Jalen Ramsey, but they are able to somehow pry Eric Berry away from Kansas City, who I've been looking into, has played a lot more free safety than is advertised in Kansas City. He's a versatile guy, can play both ways in his mid-20s. He's always been a playmaker. I would love to have Eric Berry here in Jacksonville.
I'd be curious. Again, I don't even have access to the All-22 right now, but just what he's been playing this year. And I don't doubt that he's been playing some free safety this year, but is he more effective as an in-the-box safety? Which, I'm fine with them signing Eric Berry.
Right.
Whether he's a free or strong safety, I don't care, because I think he's an upgrade over Jonathan Cyprian either way. So I'd be okay with them signing him to play strong safety here in Jacksonville and addressing free safety in some other way.
My understanding is Ron Parker and Tavon Branch played strong safety primarily for Kansas City this year. And we'll watch more with Barry throughout the postseason. Now, I don't think he's getting away from Kansas City. I think there's such a love affair with that guy, and they've got a ton of cap space themselves. That I don't think they're, you know, especially their playoff team, right? They've stood with him through the cancer battle and all that. My feeling is he'll probably re-sign a very lucrative deal to stay with the Chiefs. But, you know, my point was, if you go out and sign a guy like that, well, then maybe Jalen Ramsey is not what you're looking for. You know, you're not looking for that kind of position. You don't know if Jalen Ramsey's going to be there anyway. So I'm just pointing out, it's difficult to say, because you don't know what's going to happen in free agency, which obviously will impact what happens in the draft. But that's not really – it's not about predicting who the Jags are going to pick here. It's you saying, give us three players. Here's three guys that they should be looking long and hard at if they are available in free agency or the draft process.
Well, and even with the issues they have at safety, right? And there could be an argument made that they need to replace both safeties on this football team right now. So even with that argument, it's difficult to imagine a team spending big in free agency to bring one in and then spending the fifth pick in the draft.
Correct.
On the same, it's hard to imagine that. It's not hard to imagine, even if they sign Mario Williams, them drafting a pass rusher at five.
I would have no problem
right.
with that.
Right. Like, it's a different position. There's a different premium put on it than there is at the safety position.
Do you think Mario Williams could play in this defense? I mean, the way they want to constructed. Look, he's played outside linebacker in a 3-4 at times. He's rushed from there. He's a versatile guy, but
much more comfortable at that 4-3.
Understood. And he doesn't fit. He's not the prototype of a Leo of what you're looking for. You can't deny his pass rush success, Tony. If they would put him in a position to be successful, I'd be all for it. Although I don't like the reports that you had unnamed teammates saying after the year that this guy checked out. He basically quit on them. Because he didn't like the way he was being used. Well, that's an issue. Because you come in and you're used the way it may not be ideal, but you're used the way the coaches tell you you're going to be used. And you're getting paid good money to go out there and play football, right? And you do what you got to do. But so for him to not play his hardest because he wasn't personally happy with the role he had, that's a major red flag for me with Mario Williams.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't have an issue with the team going after Mario Williams, and I'll say this about it, and I can hear the people in Jacksonville getting mad even as I'm about to say this. Look, I don't think Mario Williams fits this defense, and for that reason, I don't think he's going to be a strong consideration of free agency for the Jacksonville Jaguars, because he's a 4-3 end and they don't run a traditional 4-3 defense. And for the fans out there who are mad when they hear that they're just going to potentially ignore one of the best players available in free agency because he doesn't fit their scheme, you can be mad all you want, but they've shown they're pretty committed to what they're doing
right
here in Jacksonville and doing it this way. And in the end, it may cost everyone their jobs, but they are committed to this. The first 2 years didn't even matter to the general manager. That's how committed they are to the process that they're in the middle of right now.
And let's be clear. They matter to Dave Caldwell. Gus Bradley's record here, he thinks, you'll hear that later. He says he doesn't hold him responsible for the first couple of years. Let's go to Jarrell on the north side first up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jarrell.
Good morning. Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good. What's up, man?
All right, three players for you. You had already mentioned Mario Williams, but I'm not going to go Mario Williams. I'm going to say Bruce Irvin because he fits the defense. He was in Seattle. Another one, it might be a little bit of a risk, but he was a great player in Arizona. Sean Witherspoon at linebacker, and safety, Jalen Ramsey.
Witherspoon's interesting because he's had some injury issues the last couple of years, and you might be able to get him a little bit cheaper. I'd have no problem bringing in some free agent kind of hole pluggers, you know what I mean, Tony? Because you don't have enough draft capital to draft stars at every position that you have needs at, right? So I have no problem getting a veteran in, and Witherspoon's not old, but getting a veteran in, even if he is a little bit older than that, and kind of plug in the gap, at least putting yourself in a position, as Dave Caldwell talked about yesterday, of not feeling like I have to come out with an outside linebacker in this draft, or I have to come out with this, or I have to come out with that, because he wants to fill as many holes as possible. Certainly, than if opportunity presents itself and the best player available to you or among the best players is a guy at that position, they're not going to be opposed to taking him. But you just don't want to go in feeling like, man, if we don't get X, we're really screwed coming into this draft. So Witherspoon, Irvin, Jalen Ramsey, thank you, Jarrell. Appreciate the feedback. A lot of people saying Bruce Irvin. Tony, makes a ton of sense. Keeping in mind that Dan Quinn, who is his most recent defensive coordinator that left to become a head coach with the Atlanta Falcons, they run the same system there, and he's an Atlanta native. And there was a lot of talk, remember, prior to this season that he was going to try to force his way to Atlanta, see if he could get traded there, wasn't happy, all this. He denied that. But people were writing about it like it was a done deal. As soon as free agency opens up, Bruce Irvin will be an Atlanta Falcon. Don't know if that's going to happen or not. But
that's the way it sounded.
A lot of talk out there.
The last time there was talk about Bruce Irvin, really. And he's had a pretty solid season for Seattle, and you'll have the opportunity to watch him here in the NFL playoffs. Irvin, last year, the conversation about the Jags and free agency, there was a lot of talk about they need to bring in a veteran wide receiver to help these guys. Well, it turned out they didn't. They were okay even without that presence in the wide receiver core. I feel the same way about defensive end this year. It feels like Andre Branch is not going to be brought back here to Jacksonville. Chris Clemons is done in Jacksonville in all likelihood. So you have Dante Fowler coming back as that Leo, and what else? And I would really like a guy who basically has a lost rookie season to have somebody else at that position who knows what the heck they're doing. And the idea of it being Bruce Irvin, who is obviously very comfortable in that Leo spot, makes so much sense to me. It's just, is he going to be so focused on Atlanta because of those stories? I don't know, but I really feel like there needs to be a priority put on, it doesn't have to be the top-end guy, but they need a veteran presence at that Leo spot just to help Dante Fowler figure out how to rush the passer in this league.
Right.
I think that's important for this football team.
Most important to me is, can he play? You know,
sure.
Because I don't want just to, you know, hire a coach in the locker room. That's what the coaching staff is for.
I think there are options for them that's going to be available in free agency. And even if it means it's not Olivier Vernon or Bruce Irvin, I think they need somebody that can help show him the ropes this year.
Let's go to Thomas in Fleming Island next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Thomas.
Hey, good morning. How's it going, guys?
Good, man.
Well, just to keep things interesting, a previous caller named two of the guys that, you know, I had originally called about. So
okay.
Just to keep it interesting, if you don't mind, I'm going to change it and switch up two names.
Okay.
The first one, I'd love to see we finally get Alex Mack. Second one, as far as the draft pick, Bosa. Originally, I called and said Jalen Ramsey, but we'll just say that the other caller named him. So Bosa, wouldn't have a problem with him either. And the third guy is safety that nobody's talking about that's going to be a free agent. Let's bring Reggie Nelson home.
All right, you know, that's interesting because, you know, talking to Jeff Logan about Reggie Nelson, he felt he was miscast in the way they used him here.
Yeah.
Right? And the Jags are looking for, you know, that single high safety that can just play instinctively, right? And
that's what Reggie is.
That is what he is. And they played safeties, you know, left, right, as opposed to strong free more often in the Jack Del Rio regime. And it led Reggie to have too many responsibilities reading the plays, and he is much better just putting him back there as a center fielder and being an instinctive player. Led the league, or at least was leading the league in interceptions with a week or two to go. Don't know if he finished up as the league leader and made it to the Pro Bowl this year. It was miscast here in Jacksonville. You can't blame, and it's funny, you know, people were tweeting at me this week. You know, Gruden last week said, it's amazing how many Jaguars are flourishing, or words to that effect, in other places around the league. You have to look at what they did when they're here. And if Reggie Nelson were to get an extension after what he did coming in on his rookie contract, we would have questioned their sanity. Are you kidding me? And now here he is 4 years later making the Pro Bowl, and he has played better overall since he got to Cincinnati than he ever played here in Jacksonville. So that's an interesting name to throw in there. I appreciate that, Thomas. We got to take a break. We'll come back, get more of your calls. We'll hear from the general manager as well, Dave Caldwell, of your Jacksonville Jaguars. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at EverBank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, let's get a quick call in here, Tony. Let's get to Dave Caldwell because we got a lot of sound from the Jaguars general manager, his season wrap-up press conference yesterday, which you heard live on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Let's go to Ron in Gainesville. Question of the day is this. Which three specific players, free agents, or draft prospects would you like to see the Jags take a long, hard look at this offseason? Good morning, Ron. How are you?
I'm pretty good, sir. How about you?
Good. What's up?
First of all, Happy New Year to you guys. And
you too.
I would like to answer your question by listing off three guys. Actually, four. If one of them isn't available, I'll be fine with the fourth. Alex Mack to address the center situation. I would like to see JPP in a Jaguars uniform, and I would also like to see Bruce Irvin in a Jaguars uniform. My third alternate, if we can't get Mack, I would like to see Eric Berry in a Jaguars uniform. I think that addresses all three depths on the defense. And James Sample and Eric Berry could be a dynamic combination back there at safety.
Could be. I hope that's the case. I mean, I don't know if we've seen enough of James Sample to know that. And we're projecting a lot of hopes onto what James Sample could be. And I'm right there with you. I hope he can be. But at least what it would do if you brought in a guy like that, or Eric Weddle, for that matter, Tony. I'm not discounting Eric Weddle, who said he probably will never talk to San Diego again, period. Never mind re-sign there.
Man, that crumbled.
You put a guy, a veteran, who can play sideline to sideline and the back line of your defense, it's going to make the competition for strong safety fierce, and it's also going to help those guys out a lot, having that experienced guy behind them, backing them up. We're talking about Bruce Irvin a minute ago. Tweeter, texter, a couple people pointed out, he does play auto in Seattle, but as you and I were discussing on the break, he rushes the passer a lot in the same exact system. And look, Otto, Leo, they need help at a lot of places. They didn't get much impact from Dan Scuda. Dan Scuda was a nice situational guy coming off the bench in San Francisco. Maybe he's going to be better suited to doing that here as the overall talent level on the defense
sure
ramps up this offseason. But thank you for the call. What do you think about JPP with the one good hand? You know, I mean,
the athleticism still showed up.
But can you grab guys? You saw what happened with J.J. Watt, Tony. Yeah. He went like three games with a club, and he had like one sack, right? And then he took the club off this week. And granted, I mean, it's different opponents every week, but you know what I'm saying. It's your effectiveness has got to go way, way down if you cannot use that hand properly to shed blocks and to grab quarterbacks. You're playing as a one-handed player back there. I don't know. It would depend on the money. I'd like to have Jason Pierre-Paul, but I have a feeling what he's going to be looking for money-wise is going to be outside of my range of acceptable risk for a guy with basically one hand.
Yeah, I mean, 21 tackles, one sack in eight games.
Not
which,
much.
Which for JPP, honestly, the tackles numbers is about where he usually is on pace to get. He's a guy who gets 40 to 50 tackles, even from the defensive end spot. A year, he's been really good against the run since he got to New York, and that didn't change a whole lot for him. He's still effective in that area, but just couldn't rush the passer. And I know he had a handful of passes defended too, still good about batting the ball down. So the athleticism is still there. I just don't know. That second hand is obviously affecting him as far as getting to and affecting the opposing quarterback right now.
All right, let's get to Dave Caldwell, some of his comments from yesterday, starting with what he opened his press conference with.
All right, I just want to start off by thanking, obviously, our fan base. I understand their frustration, but I appreciate their patience, too. This has been a challenge the last few years, not only internally but externally in the community. And I feel it, and I know our coaches feel it and our players feel it. And we're going to be aggressive in trying to get this right and succeeding in getting this right. So I think it's important that we raise a level of expectations going into this offseason, not only for our players and coaches, but for myself too and everybody in this organization. So I also want to thank Shad for his understanding and his sticking to the plan and what we discussed 3 years ago when I was hired and where we thought we would be and where we are now and seeing this through and giving the coaches and the players the opportunity to see this through the way we envisioned it. So it's great to have an ownership like Shad and he's a valuable resource for us, and he's been great through this process and in the community, as you guys have seen everything he's done. And then obviously our players and coaches for all the effort that they put through this past off season and season, incredible amount of stories. Although we're disappointed, and every year we sit here and we don't reach our ultimate goal, I'm going to tell you we're disappointed. And until we do that, we'll be disappointed every year. But that's not to take away from some of the great stories and some of the progress that's been made individually with our players. And you guys know the stories. A-Rob, Hearnsey, Blake, tremendous things, TJ Yeldon. So there's been a lot of improvement, and a lot of the credit goes to the coaches and the players for that, and especially the players and their commitment to this organization and community.
I'll say this about Dave Caldwell's comments about Shad. I don't think Shad's a dummy. Right? He admitted that when he came in, he wanted to hire good football people because that wasn't his forte. He was a businessman. Mm-hmm. But I believe that Shad believes in this process, that the conversations these men, Shad Khan, Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell, have behind closed doors, are that these guys are in lockstep. And like you said, and we've said many times, you can't not be disappointed with the record this year.
No.
I'm sorry. You can't reasonably not be disappointed. You're happy about the improvement of individual players, yes, but collectively they weren't good enough on the field this year. But, Tony, we saw Shad when he didn't think it was heading the right direction with Mike Mularkey. It didn't take long. He didn't sit there and say, well, we're going to let this thing play out, right? This is not necessarily his MO, is just to sit back and be patient. He's showing incredible patience and restraint, which leads me to believe that he really buys into this overall organizational philosophy that Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley hammered out when they got hired. And, like I said, quickly moved on when he realized his mistake after 1 year. I think he does truly feel that this team is on the right path, and he's not doing it just to be loyal to a four-year commitment that he gave to Gus Bradley when he hired him. He gave Mike Mularkey a multi-year contract too.
Yeah, look, they're committed to this plan. They're committed to this build, and we said it when it started, and we'll continue to say it. It's going to work or it's not going to work. And we're to the crucial point of this thing where it's going to turn good or it's going to not turn good. And everyone's job is going to be on the line with the results of this upcoming 2016 season. And they realize that. Caldwell, talking yesterday, also talked about his conversation, mentioning Shad Khan, that he had with Khan and Gus Bradley about bringing Gus back for a fourth year.
It's been an ongoing conversation. And, the one thing you're going to get with Shad and myself and Gus is there's going to be thoughtful consideration through every decision we make. And there's not going to be any flippant decisions. And after a one-week bad performance, we're going to take in the whole picture, all the circumstances, and we're going to make an educated, well-thought-out decision. And it wasn't I don't think it surprised anybody inside the building, and probably a few outside the building. But these are conversations that we've had weekly. Shad and I talk on at least a weekly basis, but multiple times during the week throughout the season and in the off season. And that was very, very supportive, but very, very thought out.
And then a very pointed question, and I think one that needed to be asked: what makes Dave Caldwell believe that Gus Bradley is the right guy to coach his football team?
I know this. He can make difficult decisions. I thought his game management was very good throughout the year. But I think just his leadership skills, he's terrific in front of the team. The players love playing for him, and they play their tails off for him. We're not overly penalized team outside of we take fairly good care of the ball, and those are usually three things that will transcend into victories in the future. So I think all those things, and he has a plan, and he's a good offensive and defensive mind and when it comes to the X's and O's.
All right, without nitpicking every word that comes out of Dave Caldwell's mouth, because I do think he is a thoughtful guy, and I do think he's not talking off the cuff here. They take good care of the ball. Your quarterback led the league in interceptions. I mean, is that taking good care of the ball? I don't know if I agree with that last point on that. And, overall, I don't know. I'll look up where their turnovers overall stand in relation to the league average or other teams in the league. But, Tony, Denard Robinson made a show of laying it on the ground the last 3 weeks, you know. And you, like I said, the QB led the league in interceptions. I don't know if I agree with that particular point.
They are tied for eighth in the league in giveaways.
Yeah, 28th. I wouldn't say that's taking care of the football.
League lead is Dallas and Tennessee with 33. The low in the league was New England with 14.
So half as many. And granted, I understand. Just give me the top five from the best perspective. New England, and who are the other four in terms of the fewest turnovers this year?
New England with 14, Kansas City with 15.
Playoffs.
Seattle with 16, playoffs. San Francisco with 17, Minnesota, Green Bay, Cincinnati all tied with 17.
Playoffs. So San Fran's the outlier. There usually is an outlier, right? Like, what was the stat I was looking at yesterday? Oh, games missed. Do you see the stat? Teams with the most games missed, the Jags were very high up in terms of total games missed due to injury. Patriots led the league. They had a whopping number of games missed due to injury. So there's always one or two outliers. Most of the teams in the top 10 of games missed were not playoff teams this year.
And that makes sense. And the Patriots actually leading the league, and it makes sense, too, considering you look at what they look like in the last 3 weeks of the year.
Right.
They don't look like the team that was bullying everybody for the first 2 months. They look like a team that was limping into the playoffs right now.
Well, I mean, this week they played without their left tackle. They played without Dante Hightower. They've been playing without Edelman. Amendola's been ineffective because of injury on and off throughout the second half of the season. He had a nice stretch in the middle. So they lost Deion Lewis, who was dynamite out of their backfield this year. They've had their issues, but that's life in the big city, man. That's why injuries can't be an excuse to performance. They're a reason, but they can't be an excuse for your overall. Look, you lose your quarterback, I think that's the one position where everybody is going to cut a team some slack. Because it's hard enough to find 32 good ones to have two on the same team that can play a similar level. But then you look at a team like Houston, they won the division with a little bit of a revolving door at quarterback, and Indy was 8-8 with the same kind of situation, maybe even worse. So who knows? Coming up next, this Dayton football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. We'll get more from Dave Caldwell coming up, and coming up in about 20 minutes or so, John Osier from Jaguars.com going to stop by to talk a little Jaguar ball with you on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. I said this yesterday, Tony Bennett. My sources are conflicted on this. Apparently today was the day that Don Shula stepped down as head coach of the Miami Dolphins, January 6, 1996. I'm telling you, I've got some shaky internet sources for this kind of football trivia stuff, by the way. Famous birthdays for this date, Lou Holtz, the stuttering, prognosticating commentator, whatever he is. He did coach the New York Jets to a 3-10 mark when he quit with a game to go.
Someone ought to hire that
like
guy.
Like in 76.
It's about time for him to get a second chance at the NFL.
He did a little bit better in college. He turned 79 years old today. Howie Long, born in this state in 1961, and he was an 8-time Pro Bowler, 2-time first-team All-Pro, and a Hall of Fame inductee in 2000 as he was a finalist in 99. Charles Haley, born in the state in 1964, happy 52nd to the 5-time Super Bowl champ.
Finally a Hall of Famer, too.
Got one for the thumb. He is finally a Hall of Famer. He was a finalist 5 times before he got in this past voting cycle. 5-time Pro Bowler and a 2-time first-team All-Pro. Happy birthday, number 46, to Keenan McCardle, Jaguars wide receiver, one of the best to ever put on the uniform here. And
he's open, Mark.
46 years old today. He's oh, Jimmy scored. Keenan was open, though. he would have scored better than Jimmy. That was terrific having those guys on with J.P. Shadrick on the pregame show during Jaguar Alumni Weekend. Keenan, a 2-time Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl champ with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as well. And it's the 29th birthday of Ndamukong Suh. He is a 4-time Pro Bowler, 3-time first-team All-Pro. I don't particularly like him, so I'm not going to wish him a happy birthday. But I will note that he was born on this date 29 years ago.
How long before his age exceeds his paycheck?
In what way? What do you mean?
Like the money he makes a year. I don't even know if he's making $29 million down there this year.
Oh, but that many million. Yeah, I see.
How long before his paycheck is smaller than his age?
Man, just give me one of those years, please. And you know what I want? I want to be Jim Tom Sula. I want to get a 3-year contract, get fired after the first year, and get paid $11 million over the next
two. I don't even need to work the next two.
That would be great. I don't need to work the next 40, Tony, if I'm lucky enough to get 40. if you give me $11 million to walk away. This State in Football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on Gate Parkway. If you need a family dentist, if you need cosmetic work done, anything dental, Dr. McCall can handle it. A certified Invisalign provider, you get 10% off all first-time customer initial visits. Visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services or call 620-9225 for Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Notre Dame junior linebacker Jalen Smith left his bowl game against Ohio State due to a knee injury. The extent of that injury is now being reported. Smith, according to sources, has a torn ACL and MCL in that knee. Smith was expected to be a top 5 to 10 pick in the 2016 NFL draft, but as a junior, he has not declared for the NFL draft yet. It's unclear if he's going to or if he's going to decide to stay at Notre Dame for one more year and try to rehab that knee there. Florida State kicker Roberto Aguayo has announced that he will enter the 2016 NFL draft for going his senior year at Florida State. Here is a section of the application that St. Louis Rams owner Stan Kroenke sent to the committee that is making the decision on who will eventually land in Los Angeles, San Diego, Oakland, St. Louis, all trying to end up there. Quote, no NFL club would be interested in the RSA's new St. Louis stadium. Any NFL club that signs on to this proposal in St. Louis will be well on the road to financial ruin, and the league will be harmed. Kroenke also says in the application that St. Louis is a two-sports town and can no longer support the National Football League in that city. So I'm sure the fans of St. Louis are thrilled with Stan Kroenke as they have been for the last couple of years.
Hey, I wish no personal ill on St. Louis.
Me either.
Obviously, we here in the 904 area code know what it is like to have your team be rumored to not be long for your city, okay? And fortunately, I believe that we've moved out of that phase with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I know what's going to happen, Tony, because I've seen these grassroots Facebook campaigns that have already been brought up. Have you seen, you know, let's bring the Jaguars to St. Louis, that kind of garbage?
Yeah.
You know, so if you want to start that, buddy, you know, we'll come storming the arch, all right? If that's going to be the case, then let's Stan Kroenke take a big dump on St. Louis on his way out the door, and let's poison the well for anyone to think that St. Louis is a good NFL town.
Right.
Look, I don't think – I get these all the time, and I'm always telling people, ain't going to happen. They're not going to St. Louis. Stop it. But I don't need a round of absurdity from those desperate fans in St. Louis who are having their team taken away. But guess what? You're having another team taken away. You lost the Cardinals.
Right.
Now you're going to lose the Rams.
You're a two-time loser.
Right.
Not our fault. You got the NHL. You support the St. Louis Cardinals in Major League Baseball very well. You may just have to deal with that being what you have in St. Louis at this point, because honestly, I'm not saying that attendance for any NFL team is very good when they're terrible, right? People don't go watch bad products. I know that's shocking to everyone out there, but when teams are bad, people don't go to games. In St. Louis, it's a more difficult problem than that because of the relationship between the owner and the city and trying to get the stadium built and the dollar signs that are flashing in front of Kroenke's eyes right now with the idea of moving that team to L.A. and just how much more valuable that franchise is in Los Angeles than it is in St. Louis. And it feels like a bottom line thing for Kroenke right now, and he is burning bridges in St. Louis on his way out the door.
Hey, that's what he's doing, man, and he's doing it with a hell of a porn star mustache as well at the same time. It's a difficult thing to pull off. I wonder what's going to happen. I mean, you know, if they don't get the – is he going to try to force a move to L.A. even if he doesn't get the votes, as has been rumored? Aren't you so glad that it's three other franchises' issue right now and
yeah,
not yours? And if nothing else, I mean, to me – and I know there's still people in Jacksonville that think, oh, your head's buried in the sand if you don't think – you know, the grand plan isn't to move this team to London. I don't buy it. I just do not buy it.
I don't either.
I think the investment in infrastructure and fan experience and football facilities and everything, it's pretty indicative that Shad Khan is making a go of it here on the First Coast. But that's how I feel. You can feel however you like and let it drive you crazy if you want to. Let us get back to Dave Caldwell, and we'll jump in where we left off. Dave yesterday was asked to assess the final three games of the 2015 season?
A little bit, if the season ended that Sunday, we'd probably be having some different questions and different dialogue here. That's why we want to account for the whole season and not just reflect on the last maybe 2 weeks or the last week of the season and be too quick with our decisions based off of those two games. And that's why we won't talk about personnel decisions or anything moving forward here. But it was a step in the right direction. I mean, you don't score 51 points by accident. And just like Blake Bortles doesn't throw for 35 touchdowns and 4,400 yards and Allen Robinson 1,400 yards, those things don't happen by accident. And, you know, it's been 21 years since, you know, somebody in this organization has done that. And, credit to the players and coaches, but it just shows that it's a step in the right direction. That the next two games, I think, weren't great matchups for us. We've had trouble stopping the pass, and we played two top quarterbacks, Matt Ryan and Drew Brees, and I think that was, you know, going into the season and knowing that our situation with pass rush and third down situations, I thought was going to be an issue, and it proved to be, and they just weren't good matchups for us.
Yeah, they knew going into the season it was going to be a problem. Now the question is, what do you do about it? Here in your fourth offseason with the team, Caldwell was asked how to fix the defense in a short time.
Well, I feel like it's easier, in this league to fix a defense than it is an offense. And it took us 3 years to get to where we need to be offensively. That's not like we don't have any pieces on defense. We do have some good players, and so we have a mountain of cap space and 8 draft picks. And coupled with some of the players that we felt like had good years on defense. The year Roy Miller and Odrick and Puz and Aaron Colvin, Devon House set records. You know, he's another great story that took place this year and for pass breakups. And he's been around the ball, had made plays on the ball, interceptions, and had a really nice year. So we do have pieces in place there. And now we got to supplement them. And you get Dante Fowler back, get some Derek Marks back, and we'll see where we're at.
I'm just going to pour myself a large glass of the Kool-Aid right now. And just, I mean, here's the thing. We watch it realistically. We're like, wow, man, really? You know, this season, all these opportunities, the schedule, the way it played out, and you let opportunity after opportunity slip through your fingers. But I do believe there is a little core of players that if you plug in the right guys around them, and if Fowler and Marks, they're already here. You don't need to go out and acquire them. You need to get them healthy. And if they can get healthy, and I get it, Fowler will be essentially a rookie in the National Football League, that, you know, 6-7 key guys, Tony, it's not out of the question that you could go get 3 starters in free agency and 2 in the draft and,
sure,
you know, be significantly improved. Now, you're not going to be top 5 defense in the league, but a definite improvement on where they were. They made a huge leap forward on the offensive side last year.
No, they definitely did. And you go back over the 2015 season, and we've said all the close games, well, they could have won 9 games this year. Well, they could have won 2, right? I mean, it was that kind of season for Jacksonville. But I think if you want to look on the glass half full side, how many games were late in games they just couldn't get off the field defensively on third down, where they had opponents in 3rd and 8 or longer and just couldn't get off the field? And I think if you look at it and say, well, if Dante Fowler can make one play in that game and it happens to come on that 3rd and 8, they're off the field. And the offense, the better part of this team, where Blake has been pretty clutch this year, is back on the field and has how many more opportunities to make a difference for this football team? I think if you want to look at it that way, it's fair. And there were opportunities within this season where if they had one guy who could just win, just one guy in that front four that could just win in a key situation, they'd be getting off the field and giving themselves much better opportunities to win these football games. And I think they feel like there are pieces here that are going to help them in 2016. And as he said in his opening comment, aggressive. They're going to be aggressive this offseason is the word that Caldwell used when going after this and trying to supplement what they already feel like is a young core.
And I think they were aggressive last year. They went after, and as Dave, and I don't know if this is the cut we're going to play. I don't think this is the cut we're going to play coming up here. But he said, well, we probably were fortunate we didn't get some of the guys who were aggressive. I don't know if he was talking about Randall Cobb or if he was talking about DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray certainly didn't have that kind of year. It's odd, though. DeMarco Murray's first carry in the post-Chip Kelly Eagles era went for a 54-yard touchdown.
Yeah, and I think he had 69 yards in the game.
Right. It wasn't great, yeah. But still, it was like, wasn't that funny to you? Like, that was like a statement play for DeMarco Murray. But nevertheless, let's hear one more from Dave Caldwell here before we break. John Osher is going to join us on the other side. And this is Dave being asked just to reflect on the fact that this team has only managed 12 wins in 3 years.
No, and that's another thing. And a lot of people say 12 wins in 3 years, and Gus Bradley's got his records 12 and whatever it is. I don't hold Gus responsible for the first 2 years. I mean, it was tough. And I know, you know, the plan was to – we didn't do anything free-agent-wise of note our first year here, played a lot of rookies, and just kind of survived. Last year we signed some rookies that or some free agents that were kind of stopgap type of guys, and but still were playing young guys, and I think we played 9 guys on offense and that were rookies, and as you saw, paid dividends this year. And it was more gearing towards this year and next year and the year after. And if you would have asked me 3 years ago, do you think you'll have a winning record by year three? I wouldn't have been sold on that we would have. And the fact that we're even talking about being playoffs lets me know that we're probably closer than we think we are. And in December, it was beginning, middle of December, we were still had a shot at the division and playoffs, and albeit being a weak division, so to speak, shows that we've made quite a bit of good strides. But we got a lot more work to do.
All right. Well, again, you know, whether or not they'd have a winning record by this point, man, I guess I would have hoped that would have been the case, and particularly with the way the season played out. I think even if your expectations sure. like mine were for a 6-win team coming in, they had to change. That's 6 wins based on your perception of how the schedule strength looks in August. It didn't turn out to be nearly that strong.
Yeah, and I think he said it in the opening comment. He gets how disappointed everyone is, and they feel it right. In the building too. So I think it is balancing both those things. And you're seeing the indications in the last week and a half. You're seeing strong indications that they believed it was a 4-year process in Jacksonville, and they believe that it was going to take 4 years for them to be a truly competitive team looking at playoff implications here in Jacksonville. You can be as upset about that as you want to be. It's just where they are, and they've shown that they're completely committed to that idea.
John Osher's on time. We are late. Hi, John Osher. How are you?
I'm good.
We got
good.
A break. You okay with that?
Yeah, I was just in listening to Tony Boselli talk about how good he was. He was great. According to him.
Well, he was, actually. Tony's actually dead correct on that score. He was a really good player.
I always tell people, if Tony was great, and the amazing thing is he was as good as he thought he was.
And that actually is true, right? He thought he was really good, but he was right, actually. In that, it's kind of hard to argue with Tony on that score.
Exactly right.
All right, Osher's here. He's great as well. He writes for Jaguars.com. We'll talk. Guess what? Jaguar football with Johnny coming up next on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
Multi-level intros for Johnny O. What's up, man?
Not a lot.
How are things?
Here we are. Yeah, it's the off-season begins today, right?
Oh, I guess it's if you want to take a couple days off, sure. It's ready to go, man. We're ready to roll. We're ready to rebuild this team. I told Tony.
We had press conferences last year.
You know
those
is?
Aren't off days.
You know what
for
I'm
us.
Drinking here? It's Kool-Aid right here, baby.
I like that.
I'm going
like
to guzzle
that.
It
I
down.
You always do.
I am. I'm a sucker for, look, it's not good enough reason to keep these guys in their jobs. They got to perform. Mm-hmm. And Tony and I have said, and I'm not trying to make this a – let's go back and bash Gus, but we have to be honest in our opinion. I don't know if I could. I don't think I would have in Shad Khan's position, knowing what I know. Bring back a coach who only won 12 games in 3 years. That's me. Now I understand if the vision was always more of a 4-year kind of plan. And as Dave Caldwell said yesterday, I'm not going to hold the first 2 years against Gus. That surprise you? I mean, that's,
not at all.
Not at all. Not, for 2 years.
Well, he's been saying it all along.
2-year free pass? So how long? Then how long is the leash?
He basically said it after last season. as well. So I didn't think it was that much different than what he said in his next day press conference last year, Dave. And I forget what it was, but he discussed not being surprised and almost being surprised that they hadn't won 7 in 2 years, I think was his quote. So whether you agree with it or not, it certainly didn't surprise me that he said it, because he had essentially said the same thing the year before, and I thought he was really just reiterating with it. Now, I used it. It was obviously the quote of the day, but it didn't surprise me that he said it, because it's been pretty clear to me that that's how he's been thinking all along.
Man, I just – wow. That look, Gus can thank his lucky stars that he found was hired into this situation, I think. You know, I mean, who knows? Maybe if he had gone to Philadelphia and they were interested in hiring him, maybe he would have won 10 games like Chip Kelly did his first 2 years. Who knows, with a more talented roster. I don't know.
From what Shad and Dave have both said, I think they all came into it with their eyes open, and I'm sure from Gus's point of view, I never talked to him about this, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was said in the beginning, look, we know that the first 2 years are going to be tough. And if I think Gus is smart enough to have said, yeah, they're going to be tough, and am I going to be on the hot seat if we lose those first 2 years? You know, I mean, I think there were conversations along those lines of expectation level. I wasn't privy to them, so I don't know what they were. But when Dave and Shad have both said all along, when Shad said, I can see behind the curtain, when Dave has said that there has been open dialogue and support throughout, I think they're talking about, yeah, we knew that these things were possible. Now, I don't think they're not happy with 5-11. I think they thought there'd be a couple more wins this year. I think they thought 7-9-ish rather than 5-11. But I don't think it doesn't surprise me at all.
Do you think they thought 7-9-ish prior to the year, or based on the way the year played out?
Probably, you know, 6-10, 7-9, probably high end 7-9 before the year.
And that's kind of where I was. I was like, yeah. Six. I remember specifically Jeff Logman, I said 6.5 seems like the right over under. And I said 6-10. He said 7-9. But that was based on a set of circumstances.
I don't think they look at a year played out as much as people outside the team do, because, you know, like the Colts, they lose Andrew Luck, but at the same time, there was a time where they were playing better without Andrew Luck than they were with him. So they don't look at what opposing quarterback you were playing as much as we do, I don't think. So
they should. Well, I don't know how you don't. I mean, I honestly don't. You're playing E.J. Manuel, who's been terrible in Buffalo. Okay, you beat him, right? But also came back and beat, you know what I mean? Had they lost that one, it would have been a terrible loss to a guy like that. You know, and even, look, I know Philip Rivers is good. He wasn't good against all these other teams. I mean, it was the same team that was a two-win team late in the season. Those other teams faced Philip Rivers
think
as well.
I also looks at it, and when he said yesterday, when he talked about the pass rush, you could tell he sort of wished they'd been able to do more. At the same time, once Fowler got hurt, he made the comment that if he had one thing to do over again, he would do more once Fowler got hurt. You know, it's good for him to say that, but I don't know what else you do at that point on May 5th and you go get a pass rusher. You know, so they could have done something, but it would have been pretty marginal, I think. I think Dave pretty much knew that the pass rush wasn't there, and it was hard to beat these good quarterbacks hard to beat any quarterback without being able to affect the quarterback. So I think that played into it as well.
By the way, a small deal that will probably go unnoticed by many. Quanterris Smith, who the Jags picked up on the practice squad back in November when the Jets let him go, originally drafted by the Broncos, I think, in 2013. Mm-hmm. I remember stories about and talking to people out in Denver. They say, watch out for this guy. Right, very high on this guy's athletic ability, and he fits that Leo size mold. Then he tore his ACL. And as you know, it happens, and he had setbacks in his career, couldn't get healthy enough. Denver finally released him. He was on IR in the 2014 season as well, so they released him in January. And, you know, just one of these guys. I'm not saying he's the answer. I'm saying that is, you know, one way when people say they've got to be looking for other things. Well, they're constantly looking for other things. And Quanterris Smith is a guy that I think will have a chance to make this team this year if he's healthy, just based on the kind of glowing reports I was hearing about him coming out of college. You know, so who knows?
Let's hope he does.
Let's hope he does, yeah. Right? I mean, because you're counting on Dante Fowler to come back from a torn ACL. Yeah. No reason that this guy can't come back and be part of a rotation,
well,
at least.
And at some point, that's what you want and need. You know, it's great to say build through the draft and free agency and as a supplement, but if you're going to have a deep, productive roster, you need to get production from outside those first three rounds as well.
Who does the Ozone like? Who do you like in free agency? Like give me a name or two.
I thought we were in like high school. Who do you like?
Who do you like? John, check yes or no.
Yeah. I don't want to ask that girl to
would
dance.
Would Susie be your date to the prom?
You know, Bruce Irvin makes sense because of the fit and all that. I get that. Olivier Vernon, some of the names. I haven't delved into the second tier guys yet, you know, which we'll do more in the off season. But if you can rush the passer and if you fit this, then those guys make sense. I mean,
that's the thing.
I like
Von Miller. Mario Williams fit this?
You know, normally I would say I don't care if he fits because he's such an elite talent. Get him in here and figure out what he can do. At 30, he's 30, right?
I think he's 30 years old.
Okay.
And this year was a terrible, non-productive year, but the three prior years were all double-digit sack years, including the very year before 2014 was a 14-sack season, I believe, for him. So it wasn't like he was slowing down.
Like elite-level talent, and he's that. Now, it also depends on what you're hearing, which we don't necessarily hear the same things that personnel people are hearing.
What we hear is that he quit.
Well, and if personnel people are hearing he quit and he doesn't want to start not quitting, then you don't go out. You know, so they'll sometimes hear things that really don't get out. So now I haven't heard anything that's not getting out. I'm
not saying
that.
I understand what you're
saying. But that's what you don't know. Again, I like elite-level talent that when it decides to show up, can
so
do
you
it.
You think that the team should try to acquire elite-level talent, you're saying?
Well, I'm just saying, in regards to Mario Williams, he's been so good for so long, and those guys can usually produce no matter what they're a part of. So he makes sense now, but I don't know what they're hearing about him in terms of
long-term. Right, I'm just talking more of even, you know, they are looking for that Leo pass rush guy who's in that 260, 265 range. He's more of a 300-pound guy. You know, you're prototypical.
Well, Gus has always said, you know, we're not averse to having 300-pound guys who can rush a passer too. You know, that's not a bad thing. It's just those are a lot harder to find.
I mean,
there's not that many of them on the planet. So do you just constantly look for them, look for them? Well, no. We can rush the passer with this other type too. But I think, I don't put words in his mouth, but it seems like he has said when I've been around him, you know, there's no rule that says a 300-pound guy can't get the quarterback too.
Well, I agree with that in principle, but it's just, you know, you wonder. You talk about, you know, scheme fit. I know Dave Caldwell was saying yesterday he thinks a lot of the guys here on this football team are versatile and they could play in a number of different schemes.
We don't know is exactly what the scheme's going to be. How much it'll be tweaked? How much? I mean,
right.
So those are it's hard. It's hard to answer who they'll go after scheme wise. Until we know exactly what the scheme is, I don't see a dramatic change. I don't think Gus is going to go completely away from the skill set of the players he's got, but we'll see.
Do you think it's more likely, just the Ozone's opinion, that they go in-house for a replacement for Bob Babich simply for this reason, John, that even if Dave Caldwell say, hey, we're not holding the first 2 years' record against Gus Bradley, there's been somewhat of a mandate, maybe not a numerical mandate, for a significant improvement, and the perception is going to be Gus Bradley, around the league, he's won 12 games, he's going to be on the hot seat, okay, entering 2016. That'll be the perception. Fair or not, I think it's fair. And so if you are Jim Schwartz or somebody else, are you going to go into a situation and take a D coordinator job in a place where you don't know if there's any security beyond year one?
Well, I guess 15 years ago, I might answer this question differently because it seemed like most coaches got a little more rope. Now, you see so many more situations where head coaches get fired after a year or two. It seems to be a quicker trigger overall. So I don't know that there's a perception out there that there are that many dead solid lock safe situations, if you see what I'm getting at. It's not like, okay, say a coordinator sees this as, okay, this is a possible one-year thing.
Right.
Well, I would say most jobs that are getting hired these days, there's no guarantee much longer than that anyway. So it's a little bit different, but maybe not as different as 15 years ago when there was an assumption of a three-year plan. It just seems like more guys get fired after 1 year than used to be.
Here's an interesting stat for you that Tyler just directed towards me from Andrew Siciliano on the NFL Network. Said 2015 saw new NFL 16-game records for passing touchdowns, most in a 16-game season, 842 total passing touchdowns, but also for the fewest interceptions as well. And, you know, I think that's one thing to remember when you talk about, well, Blake throws it a ton. Well, you know, right now, the amount of interceptions was 436. We know there are a lot of bad quarterbacks in the league. They're not all elite. And certainly the elite ones, even I was looking at Rodgers yesterday, terrible year, 31-7, I think, or something like that, in TD to interception ratio. Now he only threw for 3,800 yards. Well below the standards. But my point is that the league average now is basically 2-1 TD to interception ratio. So now to be a franchise quarterback, you got to take it beyond that level. It was a great step for Blake Bortles. But he needs to clean up the second half of that TD to interception stat.
Well, I made the point on Frank's show yesterday. Yes, they have their quarterback. And yes, it appears that Blake Bortles is on his way to being a franchise guy. And the team definitely believes he's a franchise guy. But now it's up to him to prove them right, because he's not a franchise guy yet. And when you throw that many interceptions, and as he discussed, I'm not saying anything he doesn't already know. He discussed it Monday. He's got to have his percentages go up. I think he has to be more efficient. It can't be all chunk plays. It can't be all big plays. And the interceptions, you can't have them and be elite. And he's the first guy to tell you that. I think the remarkable thing is, you know, we're jumping to say he's a franchise guy. He went from 11-17, and many people watching him last year thought he was historically bad and would not make it. I mean, I don't think we thought that watching him. But people who watched him nationally, there was not a consensus that he was going to take this sort of a step. So he's taken that step. But if he stops now and never gets any better, then he's not a franchise guy.
Yeah, the interception numbers this year are weird. I'm looking at the league leaders right now in that stat right now. The top four, Bortles led the NFL with 18 interceptions, 606 attempts. Number two on that list this year, Peyton Manning, of all people. Number two on that list with just 331 attempts. Ben Roethlisberger and Matt Ryan are the other guys that fill out the top four. It's just those three names I would never expect to see at the top of an interception list. And they're all there this year. And Roethlisberger missing all those games too. You're talking about 150 less attempts than Blake Bortles with two fewer interceptions. That doesn't make the 18 look any better. It's just kind of weird looking at that stat this year that those are the guys that are leading the league. Yeah.
Well, Ben's always been a little bit, not careless at all, but a little bit prone to interceptions, a little because he plays aggressive, extends plays that, you know, I think he's great, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, he also completed 68% of his passes.
Yeah, so that doesn't shock you there. Peyton, obviously, it appears the injuries contributed a lot to that. He hasn't been for the last 10 years a huge interception guy. So there's always stuff that sort of plays into it. But
Matt Ryan was awful this year in that department.
And by the way, Blake Bortles was the most sacked quarterback in the league.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was, yeah, the team-wise was only a couple short of leading the league in sacks, so I guess some other quarterbacks got sacked. Not all the time for him. But Blake's interceptions and the decision-making, you know, he's built a very good base, and I think he's going to be really, really good. But those have to reduce because they're just key.
Johnny O, what do you have coming up on Jaguars.com the rest of the week?
I'll be going back over Dave's press conference, probably writing a few takeaways from that. It was busy last night with Bob getting, you know, with Bob not being the coordinator anymore. And then we'll do sort of a wrap up of the day of the week's press conferences, and then it may not work Friday. Who knows?
Hey, nice. So, you know, people say.
I'll take a Dempsey.
When people, you know, talk about Gus, I really like Gus. I really like Gus. People think you're trying to make an excuse for why they should keep him.
No.
Look, I understand the move with Bob Babich, but Bob's a hell of a guy.
Super Bob
is a great. Probably not a lot of fans realize how nice a guy Bob Babich is because he's not as exposed to the media.
Or care, right?
Yeah, and that's fine.
I get that.
And I'm just stating that as a. It stinks for Bob. That's all. I mean, I understand it. I'm not saying it's undeserved.
I hope he goes somewhere else and is successful.
I like him. He's that kind of guy that he is as good a guy as anybody, including Gus Bradley. I mean, Gus is an exceptional, you know, with his personality, but Bob's just as nice as they come, man.
Super guy.
Good, great guy to work with, and wish him nothing but the best in the future.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, there you go. Johnny O.
All right, guys, thank you.
Check him out at Jaguars.com. Thank you, sir. And at John Osier on Twitter as well. All right, coming back with the fan feedback spotlight today, asking you which specific three players you think the Jags should have their eye on to improve their chances this offseason. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today live at Everbank on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, down the stretch we come. Tony, fan feedback spotlight today, asking folks, give us some specific names. Trying to set a baseline here and see how things change over time between now and the NFL draft. The NFL draft, by the way, is set for April 28th, 29th, and 30th this year. Free agency opens up March 15th for all you rabid fans. You know, the rabid ones might have already known those dates, but nevertheless, they're coming. But we got 2 months free agency talk. And we get an extra month and a week and a half.
So the league New Year starts on the 3rd, is that right? A March?
Okay, sure.
I think.
I'll take your word for it. I don't know. I know the 15th is the opening of free agency.
What's the tampering window now?
It's earlier that week. So, you know, it's within a few days of it, right? It's not very long. Do they shorten it this year? They make it like 2 days as opposed to three.
I don't know.
It's, you know.
I don't even know why they have it. To be honest with you, it's all stupid.
As a way to explain those deals that get signed 1 minute after free agency.
Let everyone talk to everybody. What's wrong with that?
I don't understand
you, NFL.
Right. But they want everything scheduled, so you have to tune in for that. They don't want word leaking out that so and so's got a deal done here. So they want to build your appointment viewing and listening. That's what they do.
I know. I will say that last year when free agency opened and the Sean McCoy trade went down, like everything happened right at the same time. That was pretty awesome. It was a really cool half hour.
There's a hell of a lot going on.
Yeah. And so from that perspective, the league year starting at that time, those kind of things happening at the same time is kind of cool.
Let me just give you names. Let me just run through some of the Facebook responses first, then we'll do Twitter here. And I won't go through – I'll just give you names that are mentioned, okay, and I won't get into all the commentary. Eric Berry, Tremaine Johnson, Tayshaun Gibson, Eric Weddle, Alex Mack, Jalen Ramsey, Janoris Jenkins, like that one a lot, Bruce Irvin, another Alex Mack, Jason Pierre-Paul, Bruce Irvin, Mack, Berry – Mac, Barry, Jalen Ramsey, Olivier Vernon, let's see, Janoris Jenkins, Bruce Irvin, Ramsey, Olivier Vernon, a lot of the same ones here. Mario Williams, Mac, Weddle, Barry, Cyprian Branch and Clemens, they should be interested in cutting that. We asked who they should be interested in. Sip will be back with the Jags. Branch and Clemens, not so much. Let's see, Von Miller, Josh Norman, JPP. I don't think Josh Norman gets out of Carolina, but
no.
Boy, I'd love to. I'd take him, no question about
I'd
it.
I'd be aggressive with Josh Norman if he had free agency.
Ken
no
Dicci,
doubt.
Who you mentioned earlier. Let's see who else here. Joey Bosa, of course. You know, probably a lot of people don't think he'll make it to the fifth pick. You can count me among those. Russell Okung as a possibility at left tackle. We'll see. Seattle's struggled on the offensive line this year. If they let Okung go, do you want to sign a guy if he leaves a team that struggled with offensive line play, right? If you feel like he's one of the bright spots for you,
sure,
you'd want to try to retain him. I wouldn't feel great about signing a guy like that unless his current team made a significant effort to retain him. And if you do, and your current team is a team that's been to the Super Bowl at least the last 2 years, who knows what they'll end up this year, it's tough to pry guys away in those scenarios.
Yeah, and I know he's been hurt some this year. I don't know how much time he actually missed, though. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the left tackle in Seattle during the regular season. Sorry.
No. Let's see. A couple others. Miles Jack, the UCLA linebacker. Mm-hmm. Who
former was, running back.
Right. Who phenomenal athlete. He's the only ever Pac-12 freshman of the year on both offense and defense. Pretty crazy. And one for Justin Tuck. I think Justin Tuck's best days are behind him, but regardless. And then one person commented, they said, why would any legit secondary player come to the Jags? No good free agent will sign here. Well, why are you – do you want
keep
me
the
to list
alive.
Reasons why? Here's why. First of all, I thought Julius Thomas was a good free agent.
I do too.
Right? I thought he was a good free agent heading into free agency last year. Money. That's why he comes here, right? Money, opportunity to play. If you feel like the organization's on the upswing, no state income tax, which ties into the first one, which is money. Great place to live, low cost of living, phenomenal facilities. You're going to hear, if they talk to their friends on this team, you think they're not going to say, hey, yeah, we love it here. I mean, I think the players love playing for Gus Bradley and Shad Khan and the whole nine yards. I think there are plenty of reasons why. Money being the primary one. You got a bunch to spend. Great climate. I mean, what, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why guys would come here. Not going to get them all. I mean, look, last year, Tony, Devin McCourty said that he was very intrigued. And he was clearly talking about the Jaguars' offer, but when you're getting comparable or close to the same money from a team that's a perennial Super Bowl contender, you understand why he wouldn't leave that scenario. That doesn't mean he wouldn't have come here.
Right.
If New England weren't in the bidding, I think that McCourty would have come here.
I do too.
Last year. So I'm
and
not,
I think you
I'm
can make the same kind of argument for Odrick too. I'm not saying he was the best defensive end in the free agency market last year, but I think if you look at the free agents that were available on the defensive line, Odrick's towards the top of that list. They did land free agents last year, and as Caldwell said, last year was the first time they tried with Caldwell and Bradley here. They weren't worried about landing big-time free agents for the first 2 years here. Now they seem to have hit on Miller and Marks, by the way, in that first offseason, and they both look like guys that are going to be part of this thing going forward when they are going to be successful. Looking at some of the answers that we got on Twitter, some of the names, Alex Mack, Weddle, Mario Williams, Jalen Ramsey, Janoris Jenkins, Bruce Irvin, another mention of Weddle, Alex Mack again, Ramsey again, that's a name you're going to get sick of. Janoris Jenkins, Olivier Vernon. I saw a list today from Pro Football Focus. Olivier Vernon was like seventh in the NFL in quarterback pressures this year. And I think he was fifth among defensive ends. I think Donald and Geno Atkins among interior linemen led interior linemen in that stat, but he had something like 80 quarterback hurries this year, did Olivier Vernon.
Let's hope he and Jared Odrick are good friends.
Yeah. Another mention for Weddle there, Bruce Irving, Mo Wilkerson, first mention of him, Vaughn Miller, who's not going to get out of Denver.
I don't think Mo Wilkerson gets out of New York either.
I don't either. Eric Berry gets a mention there, Joey Bosa in the upcoming draft. Irvin Mack Weddle, safety Keanu Neal, defensive end Leo Joey Bosa, and Jalen Smith. Smith's kind of a long shot at this point, as you mentioned a moment ago. Scheduled for surgery, did you say tomorrow? They're going to go in and fix his knee as he tore his ACL and MCL in the bowl game there for Notre Dame. So who knows if he's going back to school or even going to enter the NFL draft. From Duval Doom, Wiz, if the money is right, if not, Alex Mack. Then Weddle and Mario Williams with an honorable mention to Janoris Jenkins. Vaughn Miller again, Joey Bosa getting a lot of love here. Olivier Vernon, Bruce Irvin, Eric Weddle. So a lot of the same kind of names coming up there, and not a whole lot of look ahead to the draft among those. A lot of free agency names.
Yeah, that's fine. Just trying to get a baseline today. And keep in mind, Alex Mack has to opt out of his deal. He has the option to become a free agent. He is not scheduled to become a free agent. And as I told you, I don't think Eric Berry makes it to free agency. I think they'll re-up with him before that happens. They have tons of cap space. So some of these names will get pared down. And by the way, somebody tweeted me and said the date is March 8th for when legal tampering begins. So I double-checked. It's actually March 7th. So they're giving me a full week, 12 noon Eastern time. Clubs are permitted
maybe
to contact
they did
and
expand
enter.
It.
They did. They expanded to basically a full week of this stuff going on, which, you know, they were so upset with reports of deals being struck. I don't
understand. And Dominican Sue specifically, we knew what the money was going to be on Sue basically as soon as the tampering window opened. And by the way, just so fans know what the situation is with Mac, because he's a name that's going to come up a lot, Mac has 3 years left on his deal. essentially he's going to get $8 million a year for the next 3 years. He has a player option to opt out of that contract, but he's $8 million a year. This year it's $8 million base salary guaranteed. The years after that it's $6 million with $2 million roster bonuses through 2018. So he can opt out. He's the fourth highest paid center in the league right now. Two of the top three guys are guys that signed contracts last offseason. So if Mac hits free agency, my best guess is he's looking for about $9 million a year to be the highest paid center in the league.
Bring them all. I'll just give you these two on the way out the door here. Two mock drafts just coming out in the last 24 hours or so. One of them just coming out this morning. Chris Burke of Sports Illustrated has it going top five. Laremy Tunsil, Jared Goff, the Cal quarterback to Cleveland, Joey Bosa, Miles Jack, and then the Jags would take Jalen Ramsey in his scenario. And Josh Norris over at Roto World had a top five that consisted of Tunsil going number one, Paxton Lynch, so a different quarterback, going to Cleveland, Ronnie Stanley, the Notre Dame left tackle, at three, Laquon Treadwell, the wide receiver from Ole Miss, and
Mega
then the
Quan.
Jags getting Joey Bosa. That kid, Laquon Treadwell.
He's the real deal,
man. But give me Joey Bosa right now. Please, yes, I will take him. Look, I wouldn't be opposed to Jalen Ramsey. I wouldn't be surprised if neither of them are available to the Jags with the fifth pick, particularly Joey Bosa at this point in time. We got a break, and we'll get you ready for XL Primetime. We'll say hello to those guys coming up in a moment. Thanks to Tyler Devitt, Joe Fortunato, for John Osier, for Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey, wrapping things up on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. That does it for Jaguars today here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
That's great job!